It's time for Golf DMV, the podcast highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Low handicap, high handicap, or somewhere in between. If you love golf, you're in the right place. PGA, LPGA, industry trends. Golf DMV has it covered. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
It's the March Madness edition of the Golf DMV podcast. Probably the March Madness edition for the next couple of weeks. I mean, the tournament's not over for, what, 3 or 4 weeks?
Another two weeks.
Right.
No, 16 is coming up, right? Mm-hmm.
16, yeah, the Final Four is decided next weekend.
16 and 8 is next weekend.
Right.
And then the Final Four. And the is the Final Four and the championship in the same weekend?
Yeah, it's Saturday and then Monday. So you got 15 days. Okay. 2 weeks from tomorrow, there will be a new champion since Villanova
peaced out.
Which I had.
Who beat Villanova? It was, here I go. I'm pretty sure I had them winning. My bracket's doing okay. I mean, obviously not stellar, not perfect. I was supposed to report to you, Sherman, about it. But anyway, we've got to get with the show. It's the Golf DMV podcast. Sherman's in the studio. LB's in the studio.
I'm here.
A lot going on, but we'll start with the Valspar. Paul Casey closes one out. Finally, because he's got struggles on Sunday, on Sundays, but he closes one out. He wins the Valspar Championship, home of the hated Snake Pit, Innisbrook, owned by a sister, by the way. And so, didn't we talk about?
Yeah, she. What's the name's ex-wife? Bob
Johnson.
Bob Johnson's ex-wife.
Well, I'm glad she's got Innisbrook, and I assume doing well with that whole thing. Did any of you guys watch any of the Valspar Championship?
I watched most. I watched pretty much all of it on Thursday and Friday because I was at work.
so you had plenty of time.
Right. As I was working, I had my phone up there with the, with the game, with the tournament on. But other than that, then I did not watch much. I didn't see any yesterday or Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I did see a little bit this today, but I didn't watch it.
I was watching a lot of basketball, so much so, Sherm, that I had to tune into Morning Drive Sunday morning to see who in the world is in the lead headed into the final round. And so you had Paul Casey at, I think, 8 under. So he must have shot even today. And DJ was just a stroke behind.
Right.
And then DJ finished like 2 strokes back. And so DJ did not have a good day. Sherm, did you watch the bounce bar?
DJ went +3 today.
Whoa.
Yeah, he couldn't putt. He just couldn't. I mean,
it just makes my Sunday. Putt. Like my whole weekend is better now.
There you go.
And so I watched zero.
Zero of it.
Yes.
So here's the thing.
I have watched about 36 hours of basketball the last few days.
So you've been up all day watching and night. But so LB, you talk about the Snake Pit, 16, 17, and 18 at Innisbrook. Doesn't look as intimidating as some of the three-hole stretches like Amen Corner or the Bear Trap, but it's a narrow. I mean, if you can't keep that thing straight, especially on 16 where there's trouble right.
Right, with the water.
Everybody
went long into the rough. It seemed like that was just the play. The play was to just go into the rough and take your lumps and keep it moving.
Right.
Some of it was pretty cool. The putting, though, was left a lot to be desired. I mean, because Johnson was a lot of guys was missing.
Folks were struggling.
It kind of make you wonder. At least it made me wonder. I mean, I know you guys are professionals and everything, and this course is supposed to be hard. But come on, man. So I don't know. I was really interested, especially on Thursday. The amateur guy. I'm trying to get his name.
Cook, right?
No, because he talks some smack. So I kind of like him. Already.
Oh, the young Indian dude, right?
Yeah, he's from actually from North Carolina. Well, he lives in North Carolina. We'll say it that way.
Right.
I can't remember his first name, but his last name is B H A T I A. But apparently,
he was saying, "I'm here to win this. I'm not here to just make a cut. I want to win."
So Batia,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. So at one point, he and a blockhead were on playing a
which blockhead? Brooks or John Rahm?
Okay, they were playing a practice round together. So Rahm hit a driver, and the kid hit an iron or wood or something, right? And so of course, blockhead outdrove him.
Of course,
but then the youngin hit it to 10 feet. His second shot, 10 feet to the pin. And he said to Rahm, okay, let's see you get inside of that.
Dang.
And Rom did not.
I'm surprised Rom didn't.
I didn't
take
like
that.
Smack him in the like, yeah, because you know, John.
Take that four iron, five iron right, around his right. neck.
Because number one, John Rom is fiery. He's passionate, number one. And number two,
passionate. That's a good word.
He's
for
like,
it.
He's like a building next to this young kid. Uh-huh. Like,
he looks like SpongeBob.
Exactly. And so, yeah,
don't call him Blockhead for nothing.
Right. Yeah, Blockhead, Meathead, all that stuff. Right. Yeah. So the kid, do we know where he finished?
Yeah, he didn't make the cut. He ended up. He ended up. So the first hole he played, he birdied it.
Oh wow! So he's like, yeah, I'm out here to win this.
Right.
So this is what I'm here to do.
The announcers were saying that you can't. You know, they didn't know if that was good that he birdied the first hole because he may have just went in. He birdied the first hole. And now his confidence.
Like,
oh,
it's just
the
like
roof.
The junior PGA.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But then he like bogeyed the next hole too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
So he ended up going. I think the first day he was plus three, but then. Friday, he was only plus one. And at one point, he had three birdies in a row. Or not in a row, but he had three birdies on the front. But then the back, the snake pit got him.
So he did well for himself.
Yeah.
Snake pit.
He finished up. I mean, he was plus four in two rounds. I mean, hell, I'd take that any day of the week.
Right. I'd take that after three.
Twice on Sunday.
Yeah, I'd take that after three holes. So, yeah, let's check out this Manny Millions, our last place person from Valspar.
Yeah, so this week was Morgan Hoffman. For some reason, I thought we had him. He had been coming last before. I went through my notes. I couldn't find him, at least in my book here, but he may be.
Unless it was Charlie Hoffman, who we talked about before.
Yeah, Charlie Hoffman is another one, too. So this guy is, let's see, he won $13,400. He was plus 11 for the 2 days. So
wait, for 4 days?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. For the whole tournament. I was thinking about the
still has plus three, basically. Mm-hmm. Plus three for each day. Yeah, I would take that.
Yeah. I'd be like, I'm ready for the tour, baby.
Right. Sign me up. So let's see. He's 6'1", 180 pounds, 29 years old. He's originally from New Jersey.
Okay.
And, of course, he lives in Jupiter, Florida now.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Golf capital of the world.
Do you have to either be a golfer or be related to a professional golfer in order to live in Jupiter?
No. I mean,
it's a qualifying residency box on the residence.
No, there's some regular. There are regular houses in Jupiter too.
Yeah, okay. I know. The maids and the pool boys live in those regular houses.
Gotta live somewhere. Right. You know what I mean?
Gotta live close to your job.
Hey, that's right.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Let's see. So he turned pro in 2011.
Okay.
So he has 9 top tens.
Okay.
He's played in 151 events.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not bad, right? 9 top tens and 150-some-odd events.
He's played in 151
events. 151
events. Now, on this particular site, I believe these are cuts that he's made because it didn't say, you know, 151 events and 90 cuts.
Right.
Okay.
It just said 151 events. So I'm assuming that means he made the cut in 151 events. But I could be wrong.
Okay.
So that's your
does he have any wins?
No. No wins, but 9 top tens.
And at least one last place finish.
Right. And he's been he's been on tour since 2011, so he's been there for a minute.
And he's been there during the post Tiger revenue
price,
boost.
Exactly.
Right. I'm going to guess $7 million.
Okay.
Ooh. It seems a little I'm going to guess $4 million.
5.8.
Okay, so you're closer because I'm over.
But you're still closer.
Yeah, 5.88 million.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see, anything else about him? Not too much. He was diagnosed with, some disease early in 2017 I can't pronounce. And pilot's license in 2014. Nah.
He got his what? License?
Pilot's license.
Oh, pilot's license. Yeah, I thought you said driver's license.
Is he married?
No, he's single. Oh. Single, yep.
Okay.
So a lot of people didn't. I was just looking to see who missed the cut.
Right.
Of any note.
Did Jordan Spieth even play?
No, he didn't. Okay. Jason Day looked terrible.
Yeah.
He was spraying the ball.
He's hurt.
Well, remember he came back and said he was fine, but he was
all over the place.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
What about the other black guy?
Oh,
Cameron Champ.
He didn't play.
Okay.
But
what about the other black guy?
Actually, he's up here in the. I'm finding him now because he was up there toward the top for a little while, like, you know, 4 or 5 shots back.
Okay. Harold Varner?
Yeah, Harold Varner. Garcia didn't make the cut either, which was. I take the back. He didn't make the cut. He finished plus 4, tied for 54th. Oh, here's Harold Vaughn. He did make the cut, but he ended up going plus six.
Oh man!
For the tournament, so he was in 65th place.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good.
And your boy did make the cut, and he got paid.
Who would that be?
That would Mr. Get his ass kicked.
Oh, Lucas Glover. Yeah, thank you. So he made the cut.
Tied for 13th.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
So he's had a pretty good 2019. Mm-hmm. So he should be okay for right now.
Yeah.
So that's Lucas. So you guys have this newfound love for Phil Mickelson. Talk about this a little bit. Yeah. Social media have you guys soft on him.
Yeah, right? It's basically just
because you guys hated him a year ago.
Yeah. I've hated him.
Like we literally had three shows in a row where you guys have not referred to him as Fat Phil. You referred to him as Phil Mickelson.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's true because he has lost weight, even though I still called him Fat Phil.
Yeah.
Because Fat Phil just sounds better.
Right. Right.
But yeah, his IG page has done it for me.
Yeah.
It really has.
And he didn't even get that thing until what was that thing called? Him against Tiger?
Oh yeah,
the Thanksgiving thing. Day.
I'm sorry,
the Thanksgiving thing, where they did the whole thing.
Like $10 million,
the match. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, but you guys love his Instagram feed. So something was on there this week that made you
this
kinda...
week. Well, yeah. So a couple things he put. I think it was this week he posted. One was about the he was giving lessons around the green, chipping lessons, and I think he called it Missed Cut Tuesday or something like that because he had missed a cut two times in a row, so he had time to practice. But he was giving some gems again on how to, really how to hit it close and what he was doing and everything, how to do it, you know. He gives really good directions. I really give him credit for
and
that.
And on that video.
Always in flip-flops.
In flip-flops. Yeah. And on that video, he hits it, and he flops it up. It goes to the green and rolls really close to the hole. Yeah. And he turns around in typical Phil fashion, like really proud of his shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, hey, this dude. Yeah.
I'm a professional watching.
Yeah. I mean, it's just real wild. But then in the end, it was another video.
Yeah, the other one, he was talking about his calves, so he's sitting in a lounge chair. Because at first I thought it was a recliner. At first I didn't realize it was a table he had his legs up on.
At first I thought it was his house.
Right, I did too. Right. At first, until they came back a little bit.
Phil's house is money.
Phil getting that money.
Yeah, and then you realize
he's the money.
He's in a clubhouse. Yeah.
It looked like Blue Mash. I mean, it was like a regular, you know, clubhouse at a country. Well, I mean, I'm sure it was a country club or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. I'm sure.
Now, but he's sitting there with his leg on the table, and he's like, a lot of you have been asking, how do you get these calves?
The Adonis. What do you call them? Adonis.
Calves of Adonis.
Yeah.
So here's the exercise you do. He said, first, you have a drink in your hand. Mm-hmm. He said, you get a comfortable chair, you put your leg up on the table, and the camera is like kind of diagonal from him almost. Mm-hmm. And he was like, and you point the toe, you pull the toe.
All in flip-flops,
point the toe,
by the way.
In flip-flops. He said, and you do that five times, and then you switch legs, and he puts his left leg up, point the toe, pull the toe. And he was like, you do that five times each day.
As we're doing the podcast, Sherman's we're watching Duke and UCF. Now, by the time you guys hear this podcast, the game will be over, and you know who will have won.
Gosh.
Right now, Zion Williamson just hit a 3-pointer to tie it at 57-57. Yeah, UCF giving him some run. Let's go.
Yeah.
So he says,
you do that every day, you know, five times for each leg, and you too can have calves like Adonis.
That's funny. Good work there, by
Phil. Really funny, man. That IG page is pure gold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Tiger is such a dud. You know, like, when I watched the match, right? Remember, I think I was the only one who watched all of it.
Yeah, because I didn't watch that bull crap.
Yeah. I thought it was really good.
And personally, you paid money that for, too.
Oh, right. It was $20.
Yeah. Then they give it back, too, right, because they have the technical difficulties or something. They were supposed to. That's what they said.
I don't know if they did or not.
Yeah.
I just pay the bill. I don't know. I mean, even in that, Tiger, I mean, he's got the personality of a brick.
Right. Well, and his social is ran like a corporate social.
It is.
You know what I mean? It's nothing different from his social media, like Lockheed Martin or something.
Yeah. Right. All of his Instagram feed pictures are of him, some old tournament or something in his heyday, and you know, Augusta's in 2 weeks and stuff like that. I mean, it's obviously he has nothing to do with it. It's so obvious that he's just in the picture.
Yeah, and just imagine if he literally would just go on sometimes and do some live videos.
Right.
You know, I just talking and chilling.
But I don't think you want to see it. I think he's so socially awkward.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like dead air.
Right.
You know, and Phil, you know, even though he is kind of, and you said it, he's kind of disingenuous, you know, but when he's doing this, I mean, it's funny, man. I mean, it is, he's hilarious.
Yeah, so absolutely.
He's fun to watch.
So Sherman mentioned the Phil Mickelson video looked like he was at Blue Mash. LB went to Blue Mash today because it was beautiful outside, which means none of us except LB did anything golf-related.
Right, because remember I had sent a text earlier this week to see who wanted to play this Sunday because we knew the weather said we were going to have beautiful weather, and we did.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got my stuff together and got up, I'm like, hey, okay, let's do this. So I went to Laytonville. Actually, I just really wanted to putt.
Right.
Because I'm wearing contact lenses now, so I'm trying these.
And we'll get an update on that.
Right.
I keep looking at you like something's different.
Even Manny here in the studio was like, what in the world's going on?
Where are your glasses?
Yeah, so I wanted to see how, you know, just that if there was any difference between glasses and contacts or whatever.
Mm-hmm. When you're putting and playing a lot of other stuff.
So I took my whole bag with me, but when I got up to Laytonville, I got in the parking lot. I drove through one time because it was not a empty spot in, not an open parking space.
Wow.
People were parked in the grass. People parked everywhere. So I just left and went straight down.
And say, you know what? Yeah. Forget this. I'm not dealing with this.
I went on down to Blue Mash because I knew they had, if nothing else, they had more parking spaces.
Right.
So I got the Blue Mash and parked in the overflow lot because it was pretty crowded there, too.
Wow.
Then I decided at that point, it was so many people, the range was actually full.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I've never seen it.
Picture.
Yeah, it was. And I think they were having some kind of tournament, too, because I remember that
it looked like that.
They brought up some kind of billboard thing. They had all the parades and stuff
going
on, too.
And
there were some, there was quite a few women there, too.
Okay.
And nice-looking women, too. just don't normally see that. Usually, I'm just saying, it is what it is. Normally, at golf courses, I see older white women.
Okay,
but there was a couple of sisters there, and some younger women.
Okay,
that were
one thing athletically you do not built. See is many black women.
Right, that's very rare.
It's very rare.
But I do have an update about that. There were some ladies who contacted me about wanting to do golf this spring.
Okay.
And so I was thinking maybe Golf DMV can do something where we get some beginner lessons for a ladies group.
It's called Brendan.
Brendan. Yeah, he'll do it for
us. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you get the Blue Mash.
So I get the Blue Mash, and I decide to just I just put my putter out and go up there. And even the putting green was pretty full, too. I managed to scare some little kids away and get one of the holes.
Hey, scram, kid. You're right.
Hey,
go over there and play with your friend. Move. I'm taking this one. So so I put, I probably put at least 100 putts.
Oh, nice. And so did you notice anything with the contact lenses versus the glasses?
No, it felt pretty good. I even, I bought some sunglasses too, those polarized ones.
Uh-huh.
I tried those. Actually, I like it better without the sunglasses.
Did you get them from Blue Mash?
No. Okay. eBay.
Okay. Those are the ones I get a lot. I like those.
I need to get some because, you know, I hadn't played with them at all before, but it is extremely hard when the sun's glaring in your face to track the ball.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But the putting seemed pretty. There was one hole, though. It was kind of weird. I kept going around this hole. And, you know, if for one side of it that I would hit from, I could never make it.
Mm-hmm.
The ball would just get to the hole and it would make a left turn. Or it would make a right. It was like there was some kind of crowning or something at the hole. But on the other side, if you hit it from the other direction, it was fine.
Mm.
So, but again,
it was a practice green.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was people everywhere. So, but it was really nice.
So we went to Centennial Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. I mean, we went to two parking lots before we found a parking lot that had a space.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And luckily, it was just somebody pulling out.
Wow.
But Bernardo Naomi and I walked. It's 2.4 miles around the lake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, walking to the path, it was 2.49 miles.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
Basically 2.5 that we walked. But, dude, I've never seen that. I mean, and props to him. Good. Everybody's getting out. There's kids. There's people riding their bike.
Mm-hmm.
you know, little kids, older people, everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, right. Everybody.
Everybody was outside. Trying to do something. Yeah. So, yeah. But good weather. I mean,
well, 65. I mean,
it finally felt like the beginning of spring in the DMV.
It still wasn't. Like, I saw one guy driving, and he had all four windows down.
Yeah, that's
and his sunroof open. And I'm like, dude, it's
not
65.
That, yeah. Right. It's not that.
Like, well, you know, we got listeners in California. They're like, 65? My God, where's my golf DMV? Right. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that daggone warm.
Right,
you
know, right.
But it really was a beautiful day. Yeah. So.
I started taking my bike up, but then I went putting instead.
But then when I was pulling into the studio, I saw a guy working on his bike.
Yeah, that red one. I saw that.
Yeah.
So I did. So when I came home, though, from the golf course, I got my clubs together, got them ready, cleaned up, and put a bunch of balls in my bag so I can pack it up.
Now, when are you all leaving?
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you leave Wednesday? Mm-hmm. And you come back when?
Sunday.
I'm coming back Saturday night.
And I come back Sunday night. Well, Sunday. I forget what time.
So we're talking about Golf DMV going to Vegas.
Yeah, two-thirds anyway.
Paul, 2/3. Paul Wilson's got the full swing thing, and so we're going to take lessons from him. He was on the podcast. You guys can just go back and find the show. It's one of the earlier shows. But, yeah, so he was like, if you guys are in Vegas, come by and take a lesson. He didn't mean for free, obviously, so we're paying for him.
Unfortunately.
And we're going to see if this whole full swing thing works. And so Vern's going out there, Coach B, LB, myself, Rodney.
Is Rodney going?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're going out there, and we're all getting there Wednesday. I'm getting there early Wednesday morning.
Yeah, I get there 12:40 on Wednesday.
So Coach B and his wife and I are all going to play around. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, because we get there early, so we're going to play around the golf Wednesday. Thursday, we've got a lesson from 9 to noon,
right?
And then a tea time afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing Friday, lesson 9 to noon, tea time.
Mm-hmm.
And then a group of you guys are going to go play on Saturday.
Three of us are going to, yeah. I don't know if Coach is going to play on Saturday, but we're going to play again on Saturday.
And right. Coach is not getting the lessons.
No, he ain't. Right, because
he spent his Paul money. Wilson money on new
on
clubs.
New clubs.
So that should be fun. So speaking of Coach B, he sent in this email about, you know, routines and rituals when you fly. He said he finished packing up the clubs, stuff like that. When is he? Is he leaving on Tuesday or something?
I think they're leaving Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, he said he likes to get to the gate an hour before flight time. Doesn't matter if it's 5 a.m., 5 p.m. He wants to be there chilling with an hour to go. He said he's got to get a window seat on the wing. Then he goes into the type of headphones he uses and noise cancellation and things like that. Talks about his playlist. You know, he likes jazz, some R&B, pop, old school stuff. He mentioned all the podcasts he has on there. He also has, he says Golf DMV. He's going to be listening to the podcast on his way out there. He also says he likes to wear basketball sweatsuits always. Very comfortable out there. He talked about meals and all the other kind of stuff. He says he can sleep on flights. So the question, but you talked about your flight rituals. What do you do when you're packing up, headed to on a flight?
Well, but as far as getting there, because I'm assuming Coach has a TSA pre because he travels quite a bit too. But because of the TSA pre, I never get there. I try to get to get my bags checked like an hour before the flight, which is 30 minutes before boarding.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
So I could, you know, sometimes, you know, people say, oh, you cut it too close. I'm like, hey, whatever. Cause normally if it's that crowded, then I'll go curbside check in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'll do that. Pay him, give him $5 or whatever. And TSA pre, because it's TSA pre, it always moves fast. The line's always short. You ain't got to undress and stuff. So, you know, It never takes me that long. Mm-hmm. So I don't like just sitting, twiddling my thumbs in the airport.
Right.
Those nasty people. So I like I like to, if I could time it perfectly, mm-hmm. I would be walking up to the gate and they would be saying, boarding pass mm-hmm. A.
First class.
First class. They would say Lawrence Brooks.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they don't announce when his people are being seated. They're already seated before they announce anything.
Right.
That's what. You know, but I'm the same way as Coach B. I like to be seated at the gate about an hour before boarding. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know, because I'm just kind of, you know, I also, when I leave the house, I check the door 3 times to make sure that I locked it. I mean, that's just the kind of person that I am.
Yeah.
But I've never traveled with my golf clubs.
Really?
And so I just bought a travel bag for it last week.
Uh-huh.
But this year, to Vegas, but then also we're going to Hawaii in September for our anniversary. And so I'm definitely going to play golf there.
Okay. The only problem, the thing I don't like about traveling with golf clubs is the It's just having to lug them around and stuff through the airport.
Yeah,
and all that stuff,
right,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
They do become awkward. You got that. Last, you have a backpack with some stuff. You got a backpack on your back. You suitcase. Got the suitcase and rolling. Yeah. And you put in the other bag.
Yeah.
And then my wife, like when we went to Florida last time, she took her clubs. And now mm-hmm. we got – so now I'm lugging two sets of clubs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And mm-hmm. I gave her the other bags to pull. And she had, because she's such a great golfer, she had two sets of clubs in her
what?
Bag.
Yeah. Wow. So it was really heavy then.
Oh, absolutely.
She had two sets of clubs in her bag.
Yeah. So I took it upstairs. I'm like, why? I'm thinking, why is it so heavy? So I opened it up. I'm like, babe, you got to do something about it. She's like, what? I said, figure out which clubs you're going to use, but you don't take.
What was her reason for having both?
Which, remember, I had just bought her those other clubs. So she's like, well, I don't know if I like them yet. I want to take my old ones, too. And I said, well.
She could have just tested them at the driving range.
Right. Hey, well, that's what we would have done. Right. But no. Right. No. So then we got to the. Like on the golf cart, you know, she can barely get her clubs in the bag
because there's so many
full of clubs, you know. Yeah, so
yeah, so yeah. LB, what are your expectations going into this whole thing with Paul Wilson and the 2-day lessons?
I know what I want. When we play on Saturday, so mm-hmm. let's say we're gonna between Friday and Saturday, I want to see a notable drop. Mm-hmm. In something, mm-hmm. whether it's fairways hits, whether it's, I don't know. I need to see some improvements.
Right.
I need to see $600 worth of improvement. You know,
that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, right. Really.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
It is. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, you got to add in,
you know, travel and.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I don't really add the travel and cost part of it because it's Vegas. I mean,
it's basically
it's a vacation part. But the golf part, absolutely. I need to see $600 worth of improvement.
Okay.
If I could, I had to quantify it, but I liked it. If I could see five strokes, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, consistently come off my scores, then I'd say, yeah, to me it'd be worth it.
Right.
That's fair.
Yeah. But, you know, hey, we'll see how that goes. Yeah. And I hope to see some stroke differential and some more consistency.
Right. You know? And that's my thing. What I'm hoping to get, because if you listen to the podcast when we had him on, he talked about how he was basically a scratch golfer as a junior.
Right.
He went to Florida, started taking lessons, and this coach messed everything up for him. Right. Or something. And so his whole full swing thing is about all this different stuff that these coaches tell you to do, you don't need to. Like, mm-hmm. don't worry. Fix your grip, but the grip's not the most important thing. Yeah, fix right. this, but that's not the most important thing is the mm-hmm. full body
right.
motion. And if you mm-hmm. get that right, he can drop strokes. So what right. I'm hoping for is conceptually in my mind an easier understanding of how mm-hmm. to swing the club right. and get consistent contact
right.
and keep it straight and generate power. Because mm-hmm. that's his whole thing, yeah. simplifying everything for right. you to that. Yeah. And so if I can leave with an understanding and feeling like, okay, I know what I need to do to get better, or I know what I do to be consistent. And I don't care about distance, because he says that will come. If you like watch right. his videos, he talks about mm-hmm. don't worry about distance. Right. Start with a 75% swing.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts there. If I can just 75% swing, go straight, mm-hmm. and can predict what's going to happen,
right.
then I'm fine with that. Right. That's what I want.
And if you can do that, your scores should come down.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely.
Because you're not running in the woods looking for your ball and losing strokes out of lost balls and stuff like mm-hmm, that.
Absolutely. So that's what I'm hoping
yeah.
for.
Like, yeah, I'm not really concerned, honestly, the distance part. I'm fine with my distance.
Right.
I mean, of course I'd like to hit a 340 yards, but
sure.
but the chance of that is slim to none.
Mm-hmm.
If I can continue to keep the distance that I have now, but it's always straight,
mm-hmm.
I'm good.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, that's
you got to hit it straight.
That'll give me five strokes right there.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how this goes. And you're taking lessons. Brenda's taking lessons too, right?
No, well, she's not okay. taking lessons. Okay. So it's just actually just the four of us now.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's you. Okay. Me, you, Rodney, and Rod. Okay.
Yeah.
We started with 12. No.
Right. Well, it's funny because when I first.
Well, I mean, my wife's not even going now. So
when I first reached out to them about the lessons, we had a higher number, and I told him, I said, that's going to change. I mean, mm-hmm. it's inevitable that this number will go down
right.
at some point, and it did. So
yeah.
So it's to be expected. Anytime you have a Anytime we do a golf trip, the numbers always start high and
absolutely.
And doing
everybody's interested until you got to pay.
Right, exactly.
Get time
look at the schedules and all the kind of stuff. So, Sherman, you saw an interesting article about. Oh, by the way, we'll have some live check-ins. Well, not live. I mean, we'll record them live, but we'll have some check-ins from Vegas. You know, with seeing how everything's going. Yeah. You had an article. About, I think it was Robert Garrigus.
Yeah, it was Garrigus.
Yeah, who got suspended.
He got a 3-month suspension from the tour.
Mm-hmm.
Why, LB? Do you know?
Well,
it wasn't a
drinking. It wasn't a drinking guy. Well, somebody else.
He did struggle with addiction.
Okay.
But it was for marijuana.
Huh.
And what they said was it violated the PGA Tour's anti-doping rules.
Hmm. It does?
Yeah.
Marijuana violates the anti-doping rules?
Correct. That's why he was suspended.
Hmm.
3 months.
Usually anti-doping rules, isn't that like more steroids, to do with like steroids? But something gives you a competitive advantage.
Correct. Right.
Does weed do that?
Well, maybe because you're
a drug that, although legal in many states, is not permitted under the PGA Tour's anti-doping rules.
Hmm. Okay.
Maybe it's because you're so relaxed when you're high that it is.
It's stupid. That's what it is. I mean, you know, it's not. Yeah, it's not a PED. I mean, come on.
Right. But, yeah, it's definitely not.
Yeah.
I mean, I get if you're caught, then just say.
Yeah, their rules are their rules. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. Say it an illicit drug. Don't say,
a PED.
Yeah.
Because it's not a steroid.
It's not
definitely
doping.
Not. Right.
Come on, let's get out of here with that. All right.
But then, on the other hand, if you get the munchies. And then you go and
no, you're going down this rabbit hole.
I'm trying to make it work.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. And also, you've got a basketball update, Sherm.
Yeah. So, and I got to ask you about yours too.
Okay.
Because you guys had that celebration. So, I'm on the fence if I'll be returning to St. Vincent Pilate. I may be out of a job. I'm not sure yet. Our head coach was actually his contract was not renewed for next season.
Oh, okay.
So effective immediately, he's out.
Okay.
Wow. And so was he also a instructor at the school?
Or no.
He just basketball?
Just basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. So we got to wait and see. New coach should be named in the next 3 to 4 weeks, they said, and then, have to interview for my job again. And
are they taking applicants? So can you all apply? Any of you apply for the?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Oh, sweet.
I know at least one of the coaches did. I am not. You know, I was asked by two coaches outside and a couple of the parents to apply.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I mean, I gave my 100% endorsement behind the person I think should get it. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
We'll see, man.
Sounds good. There you go. So, yeah, our basketball update, the season is finally over.
Yes.
Well, it was over 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. Last week. So, wasn't it last week?
Last week was the last game.
Yeah.
But they had this celebration, which is great because, all the kids come up and take little pictures or whatever. That's fine. But it's like an hour long. It's fine when you have eighth graders. Mm-hmm. But me and Kay, we've got, 5-year-olds. Right. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry to cut you off. Mm-hmm. She did listen to the show last
week. She did. She came up to me and said she thought the show was real funny.
Good. Hopefully she keeps listening.
Yeah, I hope she keeps listening.
And she got a big promotion at work, too, so congrats.
Oh, congratulations to her. Good. And so we're sitting there with kids.
Maybe she'll buy a hat now.
Right, golfdmvpodcast.com. Purchase a hat.
Summertime.
Yeah. But we're sitting there with kids basically for an hour,
right.
And we've got multiple, with me, I only got 6 kids on my team, but she's got like 20. And then she's got the other team too, because her and Bernardo had 2 teams.
Right.
And so she's got all these kids, and we're like, yo, y'all got to wrap this up because we're trying to keep these kids, quiet.
Occupied.
And not climbing on chairs. And you know how Gabby on my team is.
I mean,
she's all over the place. And so it's like, we're trying to keep these kids still, and we've got this, ceremony going on for forever.
So Bernanda got a date for the Bethel Christian Academy Scholarship Golf Tournament.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Okay. What is it? It's May 13th.
My birthday is the 16th.
That's close.
Yes.
That's pretty insane.
May 13th.
I've already been signed up at work to play in my work charity golf tournament the same day.
Mm.
So where's the conundrum part? I'm missing that.
Do I bail on the work to support my wife and her job?
Where's her golf tournament going
to
be?
It's going to be at the Woodlands, which is a really nice course up in Woodlawn.
Oh, okay.
Right next to Diamond Ridge.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, so the Woodlands is a nice course. It's pretty nice.
And where's your work one going to be at?
It's at a country club in Towson.
Hmm.
What time is hers starting?
The morning. Okay. What's funny is I have the flyer. There's no time on it.
Tell them they may want to adjust.
But it says breakfast and lunch.
Okay.
So
how much is it?
It's $125.
Okay.
Work one is free. It's my job's paying for it.
Right. Well, there you go.
Yeah, but it's not always about that. I mean, it's $125. It's not going to kill me.
Right.
And it's going towards a really good cause.
Mm-hmm.
So
the school.
It's a good school. My wife is there. My daughter is there. I don't know what to do.
I don't know.
I think I gotta go with the Bethel tournament.
Did you talk to her about this? Did you say, hey,
I just found out today. Oh. Literally an hour before we started recording.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know, man.
I would go whichever one to me sounds gonna be the most fun. That's the one I would do. I really wouldn't care who's you know feelings I hurt or whatever. I would go whichever one I think I'm ahead of most fun at.
So that's a good way to look at it. I think that would definitely be the Bethel one then.
Oh, okay.
Because I mean, like our buddy Tom Marshall. Mm-hmm. You know, I played with him last year. Liked him. You know, I like him a lot.
He's going to be at the Bethel one?
No.
Okay.
He'll be at the worst one.
Okay.
Yeah. So. That's cool. But then this one I could play with, you know, my wife, she may play.
Okay.
You know.
I think I'll play.
Yeah, if
I'll
you want to play.
The 13th? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah. So then it's like, eh.
Well, let us know what you decide. Yeah. This is going to be interesting. Coming up next week on Golf DMV, we'll figure out what Sherman decides.
Birdies for Bladders is a month earlier. So that's actually.
It's in April?
It's in May. Last year it was in June. So that's going to be May 17th.
Wow, so two tournaments that week.
It's that Friday.
Where was that one at? Was that the one that was
Turf Valley?
Turf Valley.
It'll be at Turf Valley again.
Okay.
175.
Yeah.
Which
LB did not like.
Right, I did not like that. It was a good tournament, but it was, I mean, yeah. I was a little disappointed in the course, though. I didn't think the course was as nice as I thought it was.
Yeah, the course was,
but there was two, and you said that the other one looked nicer?
Yeah, the one you could see when you're driving up to is open, looks more of a link. It looks like it's more of a link style.
Okay.
That's the one I just assumed we were playing because I didn't know there were two.
Right.
So I just assumed we was going to be playing that one.
Gotcha.
And then we went to the one back up in the woods.
Still nice, but wasn't
it? The food was good there.
The food was really good.
We met the coach and his wife there for dinner that night, so the food was good.
Okay.
At the at their restaurant there.
All right.
Cool. Yeah. So we'll see.
If you're playing the Bethel one, then I'll do that one.
Okay. And I might sponsor a group or two for the WGTS Difference Makers Tournament, which is at PB Dye on April 26th. I think it's a Friday.
Yeah, right. That's a Friday.
So I'll let you guys know.
I can't be at that one.
Oh, okay.
I'm volunteering at our Daily Bread in Baltimore City that day.
You had mentioned that.
Yeah,
right.
It's a soup kitchen.
Okay.
Sir, it's 400 to 500 people a day for lunch.
Nice.
Homeless people.
That's the way they're doing. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Good.
I'll be rolling up my sleeves that day.
Nice.
So before we cut out, we have a big episode coming up.
The 100th episode.
The 100th episode. Mm. You two clowns.
I saw it. I'm not the producer. I'm just a talking head.
But you still have say in what we do for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I would like for our 100th episode?
What's that?
To hire an assistant producer or co-producer who can help manage this stuff.
Right, yeah.
I sent an email on Tuesday or Monday.
Yeah, about the 100th.
This is the first time we've talked about it.
No. I think didn't I look at the date and send the date out when the 100th episode was coming out?
Like, hey,
this date is going to be
a month ago.
What do you guys think we should do?
Yeah, and I responded with that.
What did you say?
I said, why don't we do a live show?
Live show. That's what he suggested, and you never responded to that.
Right. Just like this morning when I said, where are we recording?
Right.
And then 6 hours later, I sent a follow-up. I'll ask again, where are we recording?
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay, I know I'm
cool.
Right.
So we'll see if we can do that for our 100th episode.
Yeah,
and we'll get
it
all going.
That's huge, though. 100 episodes? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And we still have really good numbers, so everybody keep listening. And
well, I'm not
around.
Sure after this one.
Right,
because
we're probably lost.
They're going to be listening.
Yeah.
Everybody,
I'm
going
to have to do a whole lot of editing on this one. Man, it's crazy. I may just cut the whole thing out with Zion.
Cut the whole basketball.
5-minute podcast.
If you're hearing this and you hear us say we're going to cut the basketball part out, trust me, think us later.
Yeah, think us later.
Because you missed a play-by-play of a game that happened a day ago.
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys, thanks for listening.
Peace.
Good night.
You're listening to the Golden V.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.